Hey, what's up, y'all? I know you didn't know that. I always wanted to be a firefighter. When I got out of the charges, I didn't want to get a desk job. I wanted to help people. I wanted to be active. So I figured maybe I'll be a firefighter. It didn't work out, obviously. But here I am in my fire suit. I got something I want to show you. Especially when you're sharing the gospel, you need to know this. But come on, check this out. I want you to tell me what happens. In a minute, I'm going to do something. I'm going to tell you if you notice what happens. Did you see it? Okay, I'm going to try it again. Did you see it? The darkness ran away from the light. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. The only thing faster than light is darkness running away. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. It is the power of the gospel that changes people's hearts. It's not our intelligence. It's not our wit. It's not our personality. It's not our sense of humor. It is the power of the gospel. So when you're sharing the gospel, especially when people are confronting you, you have to understand that the gospel has its own power. You just need to be faithful to share it clearly. So watch this. If a little kid hit the switch, same thing happens. If a man, woman, rich, poor, old, young, it don't matter who hits the switch, the light comes on and the darkness runs. So it doesn't matter your age, your gender, it doesn't matter how much money you make. As long as you share the gospel with integrity and clarity, the gospel will do the work. Hey, man, what's up, what's up, what's up? Good morning, good afternoon. How's everybody doing today? Can I have all y'all stand up? Welcome to our third service day. We've been here since 6:30 this morning. Thank you for coming. Let me tell you something. We're so excited. Hey, y'all like that clip right there? Y'all like that clip right there? So that is a clip from the training, the Just One training that we're going to give all y'all that we're going to go through starting this week. I'm in a fire station. I'm in a barbershop, coffee shop, the trolley, driving around. I'm on a roller coaster, and we take it all around San Diego because the gospel needs to be outside of the church. None of it's done here. And so we got to take the gospel to the street. Amen? I'm so excited about it. We've been working on this for a couple of years, literally, and finally you're going to get it. So let's pray. Let's pray. Bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you that it's finally here. And I just pray for freedom. I pray people would realize that they really can do this. You can use them to lead someone to Christ. You could use them to even teach, guide someone through the training. And we pray for supernatural salvation. We pray for a revival here in our church, in our city. Thank you for all the churches in San Diego that are doing it as well with us right now. And we just pray for your blessing. As you can hear my voice, I pray that you would say this out loud with me. Say, dear Lord. One more time, say, dear Lord, thank you for your death and resurrection. Forgive me for any lack of trust in your faithfulness that has kept me from sharing the good news. Lord, please bring revival to my life, my church, and my city. Break my heart for the lost. Give me the courage and faith to share the gospel clearly, confidently, comfortably, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, church. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Welcome to church. Is it nice outside? I haven't been outside since I've been in the dungeon for, I think I got here at 6:30 this morning, and it was 60-something degrees outside. So what is it, 75, something out there? Now? I'm from New York, as many of y'all know, so I like to FaceTime my friends in December and take my computer and say, yo, check it out, and look to him, look outside. It's 70 degrees outside. So anyway. In 1964, I was 4 years old, grew up in Long Island, and right in Queens, which is right near my house, there was a story about a woman who was killed. She was attacked over a 30-minute period. And over that 30 minutes, the person attacked her, left, came back, attacked her again, left, came back, attacked her again. And while all this was going on, people were watching and listening, and no one did anything. And so after she died, the police came, and they interviewed all these people, and there were 38 people who actually could have done something and did nothing. And they did a study, a psychological study, on why these people watched this emergency happen but didn't do anything. And they developed this principle called the bystander effect, why people don't do anything when an emergency is happening. We can do the same thing watching someone live their life without Jesus. It's an emergency. They're going to die. We're all going to die. And just newsflash, y'all know that, right? Okay, everybody's going to die. It's going to happen. It's coming. So when it happens, don't be shocked. Don't be mad at God. We die because of sin in our life. And the question is, where are you going to go after you die? So we all know people, and just to take a poll, how many of you all know people that would, if they died today, they would go to hell? Just raise your hand, all of us, okay? And by the way, not only are there people we know, there are people you walk by at school and at work who are also in that condition. And when we find out, what do we do about it? We're like the people watching this lady get beat. We're not saying anything, and it's an emergency. Now, you may look at them and go, well, they got a good job, they got a good family, they make good money. That has nothing to do with it. They're still going to go to hell if they die without Christ. We have to understand that. And no matter how much education, no matter how much comfort, how much power, authority they have in this world, it means absolutely nothing. And so the question is, why do we not do that? Now, here's the reasons people don't respond in emergency. Number one, when they did this study, social influence. They figure, well, if you're not going to do anything, I'm not going to do anything. It must not be that important. Or fear of making a mistake. Maybe I'm not seeing a tragedy. Maybe it's not as bad as I think. Or fear of danger. I don't want to get involved because I may get hurt. I was driving down the 5 freeway about a year ago, right in Mission Valley, right near Claremont and the Bay. And all of a sudden, cars started to stop, and this car was totally stopped and not on the side. It was like in the second lane over. And a little kid, 3 years old, jumped out the window onto the freeway, is knocked out on the freeway. And I'm watching this going, I'm not seeing this right now. And so sometimes you could see something and not even believe what you're seeing. So anyway, I stopped. I tried to pin the car in, and these ladies got the baby, and they were all frantic, and I followed them, called the cops on. But the question is, why don't people do things when they see something? Fear of danger in themselves. Lack of personal connection. It's not my family. Those aren't my people. I ain't getting involved in that. Or, and this is probably the ultimate one, it's not my responsibility. It's not my responsibility. That's the police job. Sharing the gospel is the pastor's job. It's the same reasons we don't share our faith. The reasons we don't share our faith are unbiblical. It's not even biblical that you don't share your faith. It's unbiblical that you don't share your faith. So my goal today, as we start this series, is to convince you that the Bible says you should do it, not just Miles says it. Now, I'm fired up about it. I'm passionate about it. I've always been. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So I'm not an evangelist so I can just preach the gospel. Part of my role as an evangelist is to equip you to share your faith. And so I hope at the end of the day, this message, that from reading the scripture, you go, you know what? I'm really supposed to do this. Then you have to decide, are you going to not obey me? I'm not asking you to obey me. Whether you're going to obey the word of God and say, now, if you say I'm going to obey the word of God, guess what? God says, I'm now your backup. I got you. Because God is never going to tell you to do something that he's not going to support you to do. He's never going to tell you to do something he's not going to empower you to do. And so that's the great news about it. We're not asking you to do something by yourself. We're asking you to join God in something that he is passionate about. And so my prayer is that you say, okay, I'm going to do it. Then at the end of the service, we're going to have you sign up. We already have 6,200 people signed up. Come on, church. Come on, church. Because you're going to do this with your gospel partner, which is someone you're going to watch a video like the one you just saw. and then you're going to do an exercise together. Then you're going to watch a video similar to this, like you saw. Then you're going to do an exercise, and you're going to learn these little principles, and you're going to go, that's it, and that's right. We made it so simple. It's like, you know, I heard the other day, it's amazing. I didn't believe what I heard. I had to ask this person five times to say what they said. There was a guy who actually ate. He ate a car. Yeah, I know. That's what I said. I said, no, like it was a chocolate? He said, no, it was a real car. He ate a car. He broke it up into such tiny pieces he was able to digest it. I don't know what would possess someone to want to do that, but this is kind of similar. We're going to give you these little pieces that are very simple for you to process that you can go do. Matter of fact, at the end of today's message, you're going to see a skit that's going to illustrate some of the things we're talking about. Okay. Number one, in order for you to accept this, we're going to talk, here are the five things you're going to learn. Number one, you're going to learn how to share your testimony, which is my story, throughout this training. You're going to learn how to share the gospel nine. These are nine words that the gospel is framed around, and understanding these nine words are going to help you discuss the gospel, help you personalize it to yourself and to the person you're talking to. You're going to learn the salvation ABCs. I think I told you before, my two-year-old granddaughter is in the video helping you learn how to do the salvation ABCs. She's two. I know you're thinking, how is that possible? You gotta get the video, check it out. And then you're gonna learn fire drill. Fire drill, you just saw a piece of it. Fire drill are the lessons to help you deal with tough conversations, confrontation, which by the way, you may get confronted. I've shared my faith for 40 years and being confronted is very rare. However, there are things that you can do. You'll learn some of them today. On what happens when people question you, question your integrity. Very simple ways to address that. Matter of fact, there are six sessions in the training. The only thing in every session is fire drill. We just continue to give you resources and resources on how to answer questions. Amen? Okay, three things I want you to believe today. Number one, when you ask Christ to become your Savior, one of your purposes is to become who Jesus is. Everyone say, become who Jesus is. Say, love who Jesus loves. Say, do what Jesus does. Okay, let's say it one more time. We'll take a deep breath in. Let's hear some power in here. Say, become who Jesus is. Say, love who Jesus loves. Say, do what Jesus does. Excellent. In philosophy, there are four laws of logic. Later in the end of the year, I'm going to start a series on apologetics, and it's going to go for about a year or two. And one of the topics is the law of logic. There are four laws of logic. These laws of logic govern rational thought. When you violate these laws, you're not having a rational conversation. You're just talking nonsense. So these laws govern rational conversation and rational thought. And one of the laws is the law of identity. And the law of identity says that a thing is identical to itself, nothing else. When you start to identify with something that you are not, that's illogical. It defies logic. It doesn't make any sense. In other words, this is a book. If all of a sudden I said, this is a table, that's not logical because it's not. It's a book. This is a table. The table is identical to itself. God said in Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. He didn't say I am what you are. He says I am that I am. He is identical to himself. Every single one of you needs to be identical to who you are, not who you're not. You ever hear people say they identify as something other than themselves? That's illogical. That's not what you are. This building can't, all I can't say all this building is a plane hanger. It's not that. And the devil would always want to confuse you about your identity so he can confuse you about your purpose, how you should view yourself. Matter of fact, when Jesus was in the desert and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the Satan himself came up to him and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. What he was challenging in was his identity. Jesus says, listen, I'm so clear in who I am. I don't need to prove it to you. And when you are clear, matter of fact, when And I'll say this about ladies, this is true of guys too, but probably more so with ladies in the sense of looking for a guy, that if you don't understand your value, you will settle for a guy here. When you are worth this, but something has convinced you that you are not as worthy of a guy up here. And I'm talking about a guy, you know, with intelligence, he's got a job, he's got purpose, he's got clarity about, he's gonna treat you good. So you'll settle for something less because the devil has convinced you you don't deserve that because you are down here. Does that make sense to y'all? So it's very clear for you to understand your identity. Now, how is this relevant? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you all of a sudden have surrendered to him your identity in exchange for his identity. we're getting ready to get stuff on some toes in a minute. In other words, you have surrendered your right to do what you want. You say, Jesus, I'm surrendering my life to you. Now I want to be like you. Your new identity is Christ himself. Now, Christ himself is going to express himself through your personality, through your body, through your swag, lack of swag, through your sense of humor, lack of sense of humor. However, he created you in his image so he can live through you, but it's him living through you, not you living through you. I'm gonna say that slow, so y'all just looking at me like. In other words, you don't exist anymore. He does. It's not your thoughts, it's his thoughts. This is the journey of transformation. Let's look what it says in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, it says, of course you exist, you're sitting here, but you get what I'm saying. Maybe you don't. No, here's what it says. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself. Your desires are not as important as his. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And for the gospel's sake. In other words, Lord, I have a desire, but the Bible says if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me the desires of my heart. What does that mean? Lord, I just want to do what you want to do. I want to please you. And then God says, here is a new desire for you. I used to use cocaine. College Avenue, college area, San Diego State, where I lived. I was getting high, buying cocaine here in Point Loma. I had some Portuguese friends. We used to get high all the time. Blah, 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 blah. That was my desire. When I got saved, I said, God, I just want to please you now. He said, okay, give me the desire for cocaine. I'll trash it. I'm going to give you a new desire. You're going to now go to church. By the way, give me your desire for women, all these women, and I'm going to give you a new desire for one. And then I got back with my girlfriend now 40 years. The same day I got saved. He says, wah, wah, wah. So I delighted myself. Go ahead, say it with me. Say, bop, bop, bop. Oh, you can. That's a word from God. You go home today and say, say, Lord, bop, bop, bop. Do it. Take it. How many of y'all got something you got one God to take? How many of y'all got something? Take it. Let's do it on three. One, two, three. Bop, bop, bop. One more time. Bop, bop, bop. Hey, let's see what happens. But the point is, Lord, I want to delight myself in you. Give me my desires. Give me the desires you want me to have. And he's going to give you the desires. Because we are our worst enemy. You know why you get in trouble? Because of you. You know why you're out of shape? Because of you. You know why you didn't graduate? Because of you. You know why you don't got a man or got a woman? Because of you. For the most part, I'm just saying. It's our fault. You know, you can't go to the court and you're going to jail. It's because of you. Imagine if you can get out of the way. How many of y'all got yourself in so much trouble before? And you say, well, they told on me. They told on you what you did, though. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Of course, you're physically alive, but I no longer am pursuing me. I want to pursue him. Here is the most arrogant thing that we can subtly do. I know enough myself to be godly. You don't. I don't care how much Bible you know. It's spiritual. It has to do with motive and emotion and decision-making and compassion. And self-denial and submission comes from here. Colossians 3, 1-4. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things on earth. Get your mind right. Everyone say, get your mind right. There's a young man who edited all these videos. His name is Joab. Everyone say Joab. And if you tell Joab, just tell him I was talking about him. He's on our staff. He's 21 years old. And he's quiet. Big, thick dude, quiet. So for one of the first meetings we're in, you know, he went around the room with all the people, artistic people there, you know, in their 20s, and I'm in there, I'm all loud. Hey, what's up? Yeah, yeah. And he's sitting there. Love this kid. I love messing with him because he's so quiet and he's an introvert, so I like to just mess with him. And so he's in the meeting, he goes, I have an idea. Literally, he's like, no emotion, just chill. And I yell real loud, is it your idea or is it God's idea? And he's like, I don't have an idea. No, he goes, I think it's God's idea. And I mess with him all the time, even to this day. It's been a year and I'm still messing with him. But the question is, that's what we have to ask ourselves. Is it God's idea? How many of you, looking back to something you said in the past, wish you would have paused and said, God, should I say this? How many of you hit send on a text and wish you would have said, dear God, should I hit, and you try, you know that after you hit send, you could actually delete it if they haven't read it yet? I didn't know that until like 3 months ago. Man, I wish I had known that 4 months ago. You could actually go in and delete it before they read it. God, I want you to think for me. Give me your mind. So number one, you have to become who Christ is. Remember, this, you're a bystander watching this person go to hell. You have to realize, one, I have to become like Jesus. Number two, I have to love like Jesus. Look what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. The next time you are with somebody who you don't like, ask God to love them. Say, God, give me love for them. Have you ever gone to customer service? You need help. You don't have a lot of time. Maybe you got a lot of time. You're coming to get help, and the person behind the customer service desk is grumpy. Attitude, not helpful. Like, what are you even doing here asking me these questions? You are customer service, homegirl. So when I go to customer service or any desk, cashier to buy anything, I'm always doing way more than the transaction. I'm always talking, trying to pray for people, how you go to church, tell me your name, where you from, you got kids, where you go to college, you know, who's Pookie and Ray Ray in your family, whatever. And so this lady, I've had many of these people going, you got to go over here, you got to go over here. And I'm like, okay, let's reset this conversation. How you doing? How you doing? Well, you know, and they blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of people you deal with, they got stuff going on you don't know about. And if you ask God to love them through you, you might find something out that you can minister to. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, and to lay his life down for his friends. Did you know that the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran? They're not in buildings like this, they're underground. At the threat of their life. We get to sit in luxury. This is luxury, by the way. Just so you know. On a global scale, this is luxury. If you're on welfare in the United States, you're in the top 11% of income on the planet. If you're on welfare, you're in the top 11%. So we've got a warped sense of bountiful, plenty of wealth. And yet, I know that church got the lights and they got the air conditioning and the screens and he's got a microphone so he doesn't have to yell, even though he yells anyway because he's from New York, he yells lovely. I don't think I'm going to go. I just watch. I don't want to get up. I just want to have my coffee and sit back and just watch on TV, on my phone. Maybe I watch as I'm going to the beach to get a tan. I don't want to give. I'm not giving my money. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to no small group. Ain't nobody. I ain't even got no time for that. I'm not sharing my faith because I got it too easy. Let me tell you something. Woo, be careful. Be careful. Jesus says, you want to love somebody? Be willing to die for them. Now, that's a stretch for us. Those people in Iran, they are pursuing God at the risk of their life. What are you willing to sacrifice on behalf of somebody else? So number three, you got to be who Jesus is. You got to love who Jesus loves. And lastly, if I'm a Christian, the Bible says I got to do what Jesus did. Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities because for this purpose I have been sent. They're like, hey, Jesus, let's go over here. We're going to have a little Bible study. No. I was sent to preach the kingdom of God to people who don't know Jesus, people who are going to hell. That's why I'm here. Newsflash, telling his disciples. That's what this is about. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man, talking about himself, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. If you have been saved, then you're not lost anymore. And so if you're walking with your Savior, guess what he's doing? He ain't looking for you. You're already found. He's looking for people who are lost. How do we not do that if that's what he's doing? If we have become him and we're trying to strive to be like him, love who he loves, that's what he's doing. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. He says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the second to last one, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If I'm a Jesus follower and I'm not fishing for men, maybe I have to question whether I'm really a Jesus follower. I will tell you in Iran, I haven't been to Iran, and I haven't been to an underground church, so I'm speaking from conjecture. But I would guess, this is just my guess, that those people risking their life to go into the underground church, you probably have less doubt whether they love Christ than people in our country who kind of go to church whenever. Because their commitment is on, their life is on the line for their commitment. People could say they're a follower of Christ, but really, do they pray? Do they serve? Do they give? Do they share their faith? Do they do what Jesus is doing? And lastly, 1 Corinthians 3, 6-9, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. The real success is not that you go through the training and get someone saved. That's going to be great. I believe that will happen if you share enough. But the real success is that you share. Let God take care of the result. It says here, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. The test, not the test, but the goal is really to take the information, learn the information, and just share it with your friends. Go share the gospel. Share your testimony. Invite people to church. Offer to pray for them. Watch what God happens. The goal is definitely not to allow the devil to tighten up your lip so you don't say anything. So before we have our skit come out, I want to take one more chance and one more opportunity to ask you to sign up for the training. Now, what I mean by that is that you're going to give us your information. We're going to send you the training, or you can go online and get it. But then we're going to either invite you to a small group or invite you to a campus group, or you can just do it with your gospel partner online, just you two. But to go through the training with us over the next 6 weeks and watch what God does in your life. And if you and your gospel partner do it to each other, fabulous. And then watch what God does, but at least go through it and not let the devil deceive you to think, it was not going to work, or I don't want to bother, because there's people in your life whose salvation could depend on it. So I'm going to ask if you would like to sign up. I'm going to ask you to lift your phone up. Let me see your phones if you want to sign up today. We had 6,200 people. Wave your phones in there. Let me see them. I got gotcha. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to text next steps to 52525. Text next steps to 52525. And then this link is going to come up right in the middle. You see Gospel Partner Register. You're going to hit that button, and you are going to fill in your information. And by the way, on our website, if you just go to Just One, all this will be there. You can go there and do this later as well. Put your contact information in. And once you do that, at the bottom of the page, it says confirm gospel partner. Put your contact information, confirm gospel partner, and give us that information. I'll give you another 45 seconds. And hit submit. For all of you, you can just go to reachjustone.com, register, and go through the training. We're going to do one session a week. You can go at your own pace, but we're going to do one session a week and work with your gospel partner on that. Amen? One of the biggest obstacles of sharing your faith is having difficult conversations. So what we're going to do now is you're going to see a skit. This is episode one of Just One Conversations. We're going to have one every single week, and this is going to highlight how the fire drill training can help you deal with difficult conversations. So check it out.
Yo, Elliot, what'd you get to drink?
Man, I'm trying something new. This is a matcha green tea latte, I think.
Oh, you can sounds take a look. Pretty. You want to switch?
No, I'm good. I'm going to keep mine.
Oh, dang. Where are we going to sit? It's so packed in here.
Oh, you're right.
Ooh, do you know Nick? Maybe you can sit with him.
I don't know him, but yeah, I'm down.
He's kind of been distant lately. I don't know if he's going through something, but.
Okay.
Hey, Nick. What's up?
What's up, Sarah?
Long time no see.
I know. It's been a minute.
Yeah, so this is my friend Elliot. Hey,
how you doing, bro? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Any chance we could take these seats?
Yeah, that's cool. I'm just working, just trying to focus, but yeah,
awesome.
Go for it.
We won't bug you or anything. We're just
going to... Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool. Everything all right, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just trying to get some work done.
Sounds good. Well, it's nice to meet you, bro.
Nice to meet you, too.
Man, so how you doing?
Good, really good. Just work, busy, church.
I feel that.
Amazing, you know.
Yeah. All the good stuff. I know. Same with me. It's just been a lot in the world, but I'm just thankful for the Holy Spirit because I don't know how I can navigate without it.
Amen.
Amen. You still at the Point Loma campus?
Yeah, I love it. You're at San Marcos,
yeah.
Aww,
yeah, it's going
awesome.
Good. This is Just One training. I just completed it. It's phenomenal. How do you like it?
I don't know if I'm going to do anything with it. I'm just probably going to take a back seat, let it ride out the 6 weeks, just sit back. Like, that's something for you, Elliot. Like, good for you for doing that. Like, you, pastor, they can lead people to the Lord. Like, why do I have to do it, you know? Like, it's just going to be scary.
You don't have anything to be scared about. We all have the ability to share the gospel. The scripture tells us that we have to be ready to give an account for the joy that we have living within us. That's not, including you.
Not you bringing scripture into this.
Yeah, it's the mandate. You get to join Christ in that. What are your fears?
There's literally so many. So many things could go wrong, whether it's getting asked a question that I don't know the answer to, or, okay. I mean, God forbid that they would challenge me personally, and then I would get called a hypocrite or not know what to say and freeze up or just reject me entirely. There's literally so many things that could go wrong. I'm good. Like,
yeah. No, I feel you. I kind of struggle with the same thing, but that's why you need the training, because they have the fire drill there to help you navigate through all of those obstacles. For example, you mentioned about being a hypocrite. They have this Whitney Houston analogy I'll share with you. But you know who Whitney Houston is, right?
Of course I know who Whitney Houston is. is? What kind of question is that?
I mean, you're kind of young, so I don't know. I just want to make sure. But Whitney Houston, phenomenal singer, right? You heard anyone try to sing like her?
Try.
Exactly. Try is the key word. Try, but kind of failed. They're like a good 4 out of 10
They're
at the
not
best.
Whitney Houston.
Exactly. Well, in the same way, we as Christians are trying to emulate Jesus as best we can. We might fall short at times, which doesn't give an excuse for sin, but it might be able to explain some of the things that people are seeing from Christians.
That makes a lot of sense. I like that.
Amen. Do you think you can recite that back to me?
Yeah, I probably could. Seems simple enough. Yeah.
Okay. I'm listening.
Right now.
Right now. Let me hear it.
Right now.
Right now.
Okay. So you know Mariah Carey, yeah?
I know Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Have you ever heard someone try to sing like her?
I have.
And how'd they do?
Terrible.
Yeah. They're just not Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. So in the same way that someone would attempt to sound like Mariah Carey, Christians are trying to sound and be like Jesus, but obviously we're not him and we fall short. And this doesn't excuse hypocritical behavior, but it does explain that we are all on this journey, this process to become more like him. But sure, we fall short, but that's why we need him. That's why we need the gospel. It's, yeah.
Amen.
Did I do it?
You did perfect.
Okay.
You did perfect. Tell you what, the best thing about this training is that you get a gospel partner. So I will be your gospel partner if you do it.
Okay, I mean, if you'll do it with me, I feel like that would make things a lot better. And I could probably do something like that. Let's,
amen.
Sure, why not? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So the Whitney Houston illustration and things like that are some of the tools you're going to learn to respond to people. You're also going to learn that whenever you get in a conversation and get asked a question, you don't always have to have an answer. You just have to have a response. And sometimes the response is, I don't know. Sometimes the response is, can I get back to you? So you don't have to feel the pressure to be right and have the right answer all the time, which takes a lot of pressure off. And even if someone says to you, I caught you cursing, you could have to, all you have to say is, my bad, and I got to do better. So we want to help you navigate and go into these conversations with tools that you can use to get to the point where you're sharing the gospel. Amen? There are some of you in here, maybe you need to ask Christ as your Savior. You may have come here today ready to give your life to Christ, or since you've been here, you're like, you know what, I think it's time for me to get my life right with God. So Julian and Emma are going to share the gospel with you, and I ask you to give them your full attention.
What's up, family? How we doing? All right. My name is Julian. I'm 21 years old. This is my incredible girlfriend, Emma. She's 19. And we've both been a part of the Rock Church Young Adults community for about 2 years now. So the gospel is that God created man in his image to live in loving relationship with him. But because of our sinful nature and because God wanted there to be free will, he didn't want to force himself on us, we made that choice to rebel against him. And so we ruined that opportunity that we had our relationship with him, because God's standard is perfection. And so therefore God noted that. He realized we need a savior, and he became man in Jesus Christ. He came down to earth living as a perfect role model, demonstrating a life without sin. Later, he was the perfect ransom, dying the death that we should have died in our place, and then proving that there is a life after death. He rose on the third day. And so family, if you haven't received salvation, you can do that today if you would just repent and believe that he did those things. Believe that he died for you and he paid the penalty for your sins. But the question is, are you ready?
If you are ready to receive this gift of salvation, in a minute we're going to say a prayer, and it's as simple as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. And C, confess Jesus as your Savior. Romans 8:37 says that we have become more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, that neither death nor life, no height, no depth, nor anything in all of creation could ever separate us from the love of God. There's somebody sitting here today who's heard the gospel, but you're thinking to yourself that you're just too far gone, that your sin is too dark, that you're not worthy of receiving this gift for yourself. But God wants you to know today that there's nothing that you could ever do to separate his love from you. He is running after you, and he's asking for your heart today. And so if that's you, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, repeat this prayer in the privacy of your heart after me. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. I confess Jesus as my Lord. I want to walk with you and love you all the days of my life. With your eyes closed and your head still bowed, in a minute, if that was you, I'm going to ask you to stand on the count of three. And by standing, you are declaring that you have become more than a conqueror over your fear. You have become more than a conqueror over your sin, more than a conqueror over your past life, through the victory that Jesus won for you. And so be bold and take this stand with us on the count of three. One, two, three, stand to your feet. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. We see you guys, God bless you.